Hello, and welcome to Biohacking with Brittany. I am thrilled you are listening today. This is a solo episode, and I'm really excited about it. I am recording from the road. I'm traveling right now. And so if you hear any sirens or any weird noises in the background, that is because I'm in a hotel downtown in a small city in Canada, in the prairies, and there's nothing to do here. But I am doing a bit of work on the road. And so that is how I'm recording this episode. If you're new here, I am a biohacker, a registered holistic nutritionist, an advanced fertility nutritional advisor, which is what I'm studying to be right now. And I am a content creator, podcaster, all of these good things. So that is kind of where I'm coming to you from. And this is a long overdue episode, I guess. I'm really excited to be talking to you about it today. And I just have so much to say about biohacking during pregnancy. But before we jump into any of that, I actually want to talk about the episode that I released last week. So last week, I released the episode about my first trimester experience. And honestly, if you're listening to this, I would go back and listen to that first and then listen to this episode. That episode was recorded during my first trimester. I think I was, I don't know, maybe 10 weeks pregnant, something like that. And it was a very real and authentic and raw episode. I actually didn't listen to it when I put it out and I published it last week. I just had my editor go through it because sometimes when you are so like vulnerable like that, it's not like necessary for me to kind of revisit that mental state that I was in. But I'm very happy that I did that. And I've actually done the same for second trimester and will do the same for third trimester, which is where I'm at right now. So please go back and listen to that episode. I also want to do, I'm thinking about doing this new feature on the podcast where I like shout out the DMs. So kind of like DMs of the week, because I, people do reviews of the week, but honestly, reviews are kind of boring. Like every time someone does a review on a podcast, like review of the week, it's just someone rating the podcast 5 stars and like talking praise. And most of the time I already like the podcasts, so I don't really need to hear about how other people like them. So I don't know. I don't know if I will do that anymore, but I think DM of the week is way more interesting because it's really cool to just hear what people are talking about the podcast, about health and wellness and biohacking. And so I am actually going to read this DM that I got. I'm going to keep it anonymous. I'll probably keep them all anonymous if this becomes a section. And this is in relation to the podcast episode that I put out last week. So I actually got a lot of people responding to me, a lot of women saying, thank you so much for that episode. Like, I am just so proud of you for putting out something so raw and authentic, you know, these types of things. And so I just want to read one of them that I got from you. So like I said, this will stay anonymous. This woman writes, hi, Brittany. I just listened to your first trimester podcast, and I just want to say thank you for creating such a raw, truthful podcast. This is the first time I've ever heard of anyone else having the same symptoms that I had. I literally felt the exact same way, only my all-day sickness and feeling my crap lasted till week 20. It was rough, and I too am a health enthusiast. It killed me not to be able to fix any of my symptoms with the holistic ways I knew of. I felt absolutely miserable and I didn't enjoy the phase at all. I was working full-time, but I had a terrible attitude and couldn't stay awake at my desk or be productive at all. It was the most terrible time in my life. And now looking back, I tell myself that it was worth it, but during it, it didn't feel that way. My husband reminds me that nothing good comes easy, and he's right. I like that you said it's just a phase and that you will get back to feeling better. Luckily, I had a really easy third trimester. She goes on to talk about her birth, which we don't have to get into. And then she ends it with like, I hope that the rest of your pregnancy keeps getting better and you start to enjoy growing a little human, but knowing that it is okay to not enjoy it because it is tough. So I really appreciate that DM. It's like those types of the conversations and feedback mean the most to me because it's just really real, right? Like it's really honest. And when I was going through first trimester, I really did struggle with how much I liked it. And I felt a lot of pressure to be happy I was pregnant and feel grateful and focus on the positive and like that type of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's honestly not how I felt. And so I felt this pressure to kind of, yeah, just be inauthentic to how I was really feeling. And it's really hard to feel like that when you don't feel good. So I'm glad that she relates. And I think it's a more common experience than a lot of people realize. So shout out to you. Thank you for your DM. My DMs are always open on Instagram at biohackingbrittany. Probably my favorite place is through those DMs, just because of the ability to connect with people one-on-one. Now, today's episode is all about biohacking your first trimester. So I'm going to get into what I did to help me. I'm not going to go back to like fully my full experience and everything I did, but this is more of like these little tips and tricks and resources and books and podcasts and things that I kind of found that kind of made life easier. I will be doing the same thing for second trimester and third trimester. These trimesters are so different, like so different, that it would be a disservice to simply have a pregnancy biohacks episode. And I know last year I produced one of those, which is funny because I wasn't pregnant. So it was a very general episode and I still stand by what I said, but now going through it, there's way more that you can say and talk about and do and everything like that. So that is what today's episode is all about. A shout out to GlycanAge. I love GlycanAge. They are an at-home test that looks at your biological age. So this is really helpful if you want to look at how you're aging on a cellular level and in response to inflammation. And the best thing about GlycanAge is that they give you this age and then you actually get to have a free consultation with one of their experts, and they will kind of go through how you can reduce your age or how you can kind of work on these biomarkers, which is very helpful. And it just is a direct impact of your lifestyle on your cellular health. So GlycanAge is probably my favorite way to look at my biological age. Their team is amazing. I've met them multiple times. And so I love working with them. I was actually going to retest during pregnancy, but then it doesn't really make sense because pregnancy is actually very inflammatory in the body. And so I will probably retest during postpartum, but not early on, maybe 6 months in, maybe a year later, something like that, just to kind of see where I'm at, because I think that would be super interesting. And a shout out to Neurohacker. They produce some of the best biohacking supplements on the market. My favorite is their senolytic supplement. You know, talk about cellular health. They have a senolytic supplement that you take 2 days out of every month. And basically what this does is it helps to clean out old cells and use new cells and create new cells. And it has been related to longevity, cellular health, and everything like that. They also have a really great nootropic, which can be very helpful as well, which basically helps with brain function, memory, focus, less procrastination, and their formula is extremely, extremely comprehensive for their nootropic. So I have both of those. I've used both of them. I think they're both fantastic. My husband actually loves those products as well. So that is Neurohacker. Both of those you can find in my show notes and on my website, and use my discount code BiohackingBrittany for either, and that will get you the biggest discount possible. Okay, we're going to dive into today's episode. This is all about first trimester biohacks. And this is actually based off of a note that I have on my phone. So I obviously did research when I was doing these things, but this episode today is not about like, this scientific study says this about this. This is just like what I did, what I found, why I think it works, how it works, things like that. I think that you can take what serves you. And depending on how your experience is going during pregnancy, maybe some of this really works for you. Maybe some of it doesn't. But I definitely wish that there was an episode like this for me to listen to when I was going through first trimester. And I will probably listen to this again one day if I am pregnant again. And okay, so let's dive in. There's different things. There's different topics I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about supplements, nutrition, mindset, exercise, sleep, lifestyle, those types of things. So I think where we should really start is kind of maybe mental health. Maybe perspective and mindset is the best place to start, because this was such a shift for me. Yeah, such a shift, because, you know, before you get pregnant for the first time, And especially if you are a health enthusiast, like most of the time you are pretty plugged in and you are optimally living and optimally healthy and working on this and that. And, you know, you're kind of at your peak, hopefully, in maybe not all areas of your life, but a lot of them. And that's exactly where I was, especially after I did my baby steps preconception course and protocol. So for those who don't know, this is out now. It's available to you. This is how we got pregnant on the very first try, despite me having PCOS, cysts, and irregular cycles. And we also tripled my husband's sperm count by spending these 90 days doing these 6 different habits every single day. And that, yeah, optimized our fertility. And so I created a course out of it. It's out now. It's called Baby Steps. You can check it out, babystepsmethod.com. Anyway, so diving into mental health, the first thing that I wrote down, and just so you know, this note has not been edited. I left it as is because, again, I just want you to hear it from my own voice. The first thing I wrote down was listen to your body. So obviously, this can be challenging as a biohacker. I think sometimes we want to override how we're feeling and say, no, I am going to work out, or no, I am going to get up early and go do this extra thing or do 2 workouts today, or I'm going to cook this food or eat this thing, or even take these supplements or whatever it might be, or stay in the sauna longer, right? And when you get pregnant, it's kind of this shift to tuning in more and listening to your body more and less about the high expectations and the ways you were beforehand. So that was something that I learned really quickly, is like, how am I feeling? Do I actually want to go do a workout? Do I actually want to eat this salad? Or does my body say like, hey, like you're actually craving something else? And like, why am I potentially craving that? So tuning into my body was like a quick lesson that I learned very, very early on. The mantra, the next thing about mental health that I kind of stuck to was, and I talked about this in my first trimester experience episode, was the mantra, this is just a phase. This honestly sounds so simple and so like, oh, obvious. You know what I mean? Like it's not very profound, but it honestly saved me. It saved me. When I was sick all day, I had nausea for about 6 weeks, all day sickness, like all freaking day. This is what saved me. When I was nauseous at the sink, throwing up, what I was saying to myself was, this is just a phase. This is a phase. And when you take that mindset and you actually embrace it and you think, okay, this is a phase, that means that this is going to end. I'm not always going to feel this way. I'm not always going to feel sick. I'm not always going to feel really tired. It is going to end. And that was so helpful. It reminded me that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And I just kept saying it to myself again and again. Now, mind you, this phrase you can use for anything. Like anything is just a phase. And sadly, the good things are also just a phase, right? So if you feel really good and really energetic, or you are, you know, your business is going really well right now, or your work is going really well, or you had a really great workout, like that's also a phase, because there is going to come a time when things are hard again. And that's normal. And that's life. So it's just kind of reminding yourself of that. Like, this is just a phase. You can get through it when it is a hard phase, and it is going to end. And I don't even know how I started adapting that, but it was easily one of the best things I did for my mental health. The next thing that I started doing, which I definitely stopped once winter came, was first trimester for a while, I was doing more cold therapy. And the reason I was doing more cold therapy was because I viewed it as a way to build mental resiliency. And it worked. It definitely worked, and it's worked before. So I have a cold plunge barrel, I guess, a cold barrel or ice barrel is what it's called. And I have it outside of my apartment, and I would do cold plunges for a couple of minutes. Now, I would not go past 2 minutes, especially pregnant. Like I was kind of like wary of it. And the temperature was definitely not super cold, like not the coldest I've done, probably hovering around maybe 6, 7, 8 degrees Celsius, probably. And I've done much, much colder. I've done like 2 or 3 degrees Celsius before. So when I was doing these cold plunges, it was to build mental resiliency to prepare for birth and just prepare for motherhood. Because I knew that I wanted to do a home birth. I still want to do home birth. Hasn't happened yet. I want to do it unmedicated, no interventions, you know, everything like that. And that will require a very strong mindset and ability, again, to push through the tough phase of birth. And so when you are doing cold dips, you are in this extreme cold exposure and you have to mentally get through it. And the way that I viewed it was like, when I was sitting in the cold tub, I was thinking, okay, I can do this. I can do anything hard for 1 minute or 2 minutes. I can breathe. I can relax. I can connect to my body. I can connect to my breath. And so that's why I kept practicing it during first trimester, was because I knew that mental resiliency is like a muscle. The harder we work it, the more we work it, the better it can become, the stronger we can become mentally. So that was my perspective of, let me continue to do these cold dips, even though they're not as cold as they once were, or I'm staying in for shorter than I once was. It's still building that ability to get through hard things. You know, comfort is everywhere in our society right now, and probably will always be now. Everything is comfortable. Everything is so much easier than it once was. And so finding discomfort and embracing it is really what I personally think you need to be able to kind of show up for something as intense as birth and likely motherhood and everything that brings as well. And I know I'm not the only person who did this, because when I was posting on my Instagram stories about it, I had several pregnant mamas reach out to me and say, I've been doing cold therapy as well to build mental resiliency. I'm so glad you're doing this. It's such a good idea. You know, I'm saying these mantras in my head when I'm in the cold. I'm doing this visualization, everything like that. So it's one of the best biohacks, I would argue, for pregnancy in general. But just be careful of how often you do it, what your temperature is, and how long you're staying in. I would do it like a few times a week. You know what I mean? Like, and then when winter came, I kind of tapered off a bit, but it was definitely something that I was pushing for quite a while there. Okay, the last thing I want to say about mental health and affirmations and visualizations is actually something so powerful. And I read the book Spirit Babies, and I read this early on, must have been in my first month of pregnancy. And if you haven't read Spirit Babies, I'm going to link it in the show notes. This profoundly changed how I viewed my baby right away, because right away I felt connected to my baby right away. So in the book, there is a bunch of exercises you can do to connect, to meditate on your baby. And one of the ones that I really liked, I don't remember what it's called or anything like that. But essentially, you are connecting to your baby's aura and the color that kind of speaks to you. And so you kind of meditate on this, introduce yourself, you connect, and you welcome the baby to you. And this was really cool. So for example, what I would do is I would sit on the couch, I would close my eyes, and I would open my palms up. Or I would put my palms on my uterus, on my womb. And I would start to visualize my body becoming a certain color. And for me, it was orange. It is orange. I'm still doing this now. And I would visualize my entire body glowing in this orange color. And then I would visualize my baby inside my womb glowing in this orange color. And then I would say hello and introduce myself, especially in the first trimester when things are so, so new. And I would welcome the baby. And then what was interesting is, like, once you kind of get into it, say it's been like 10 minutes or so while you're visually connecting you and your baby together in your mind. What happens is like you, when you follow this, and it's written in the book on how to do this, when you follow this, you actually get this image in your head. And every time I did it, the image was kind of different. So sometimes the baby would be, you know, I would hold the baby in my arms in a blanket. That was what I would see in my mind. Sometimes the baby was older and it was like a toddler, a kid running around, but it was still like the spirit of that baby. Now, mind you, you don't have to believe in any of this. Like you can say, oh, this is so woo-woo. This doesn't work. You know, I don't believe in that type of thing. But there are benefits to doing this type of meditation and this type of thing. Introducing Glycan Age, the ultimate biological age test that helps you discover, measure, and optimize your health. With Glycan Age, understanding your body has never been simpler or more scientific. Glycan Age is more than just a number. It's a comprehensive analysis of your biological age determined by measuring chronic inflammation in your system, a direct result of your lifestyle choices. The test, which is backed by over 30 years of scientific research and validated by over 200,000 tests, gives you insights published in world-renowned medical journals. Getting started is super easy. The at-home test includes everything you need. Simply collect your sample and send it right back. And in just 3 weeks, the lab will analyze your sample and generate a detailed report on your biological age. They don't just stop there, though. Each Glycan Age test includes a free consultation with one of their experts. They'll help you understand your results and suggest lifestyle changes to enhance your health and longevity. Glycan Age is unique. It responds to lifestyle interventions, unlike other aging clocks. Whether it's through caloric restriction or weight loss or any other healthy habit you might bring in, there are studies that show that these beneficial health changes really can make a difference in your glycan aging. Are you ready to take control of your health? You can use my code BiohackingBrittany at checkout for a 15% off discount on your Glycan Age test. Discover your true biological age with Glycan Age and start optimizing your life today. So because I started this so early on, I have always felt extremely connected to my baby. And I know that some moms don't. For example, I have a girlfriend. She just had her baby a few weeks ago. And she said she never felt connected to him. And they actually opted in for finding out the gender very early, which is like a paid test here in Canada. It's a blood test. And she's like, I had to know the gender because I just didn't feel connected to him. And then they found out it was a boy. And she said that kind of helped her connect to him. And I just couldn't relate to that experience at all because I was doing these visualizations and these meditations, I already felt this like connection. I can't even explain it. And so now, and kind of after I got used to doing it, I didn't really need the book anymore. I would do it and I do it at night. So when I can't sleep, I wake up in the middle of the night, I will do this and I will lie in my bed, put my hands in my womb, you know, visually see my body covered in orange, like orange glow, whatever that looks like, then the baby, then say hi to the baby, welcome the baby, talk, whatever we do, and just connect. Sometimes it puts me back to sleep. Sometimes it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is. And it's really, really beautiful. And I'm just so grateful that we always did that. And yeah, that Spirit Baby's book is phenomenal. And I really, really recommend you do it, especially if you're somebody who's had a miscarriage or you've had other kids. I think there's something to be said about what spirits come through to you. What does that look like? And also the book explains it way better than I do. So definitely look into that if you're looking for something deeper as well. And again, my reasoning for this was I want to be connected to this baby from day one. And I also want to use this bond that we now have. I want to use this bond that we now have during birth. So now what's interesting, and I'll talk about this in my third trimester episode, but in my third trimester right now, when I'm doing these visualizations, it's changed. It's changed since what it looked like in my mind's eye in first trimester. Now, when I'm seeing it I actually see the baby coming out of me vaginally, you know, to be honest. And I actually see me with my hands down there helping the baby come out of me. And this just started like once I entered third trimester, was like this very, very visual birth that is coming through now every time I connect with the baby. So that's what I love. I think visualizations and are very, very powerful. It's like a form of manifestation. I want to manifest a healthy, natural home birth. That's what I'm doing. And again, because I've had this muscle of like doing these visualizations right now and from first trimester, I feel like it's easy for me to tap into it. So now when I tap into baby, I don't really introduce myself anymore. We talk like, I feel like our spirits know each other. And so there's way less of this like foreign, who are you? What are you doing here type of thing. So that would definitely be my recommendation. And I'm so curious when I go through birth, how this all plays out. How does this help me? Does it help? Do I use it? Does it work? You know, my other friend just gave birth recently and she was 10 days post her due date. And I told her, I was like, you should sit down and meditate on the baby, you know, tap into something bigger than yourself. And it was just not her thing. And she just couldn't do it. And she ended up getting induced with Pitocin. And, you know, I mean, everyone has their own journey. But I know that if I'm 10 days over, I don't even know what I will be doing. I will be meditating all of the time, sitting in the bath, trying to connect to this baby, being like, listen, it's time to come to earth. So yeah, again, I just think it's really important to practice this muscle if you can. Okay, let's dive into nutrition now. I have a lot of recommendations around this and I am going to dive in. And so like I talked about again in my first trimester experience episode, I went through about 6 weeks of really bad nausea. And when I was going through bad nausea, my diet was terrible. And I am a holistic nutritionist, so I know what you're supposed to eat. You know, every meal, every snack, you know, I know what's normal, what's good, what's bad. I know how to balance meals, everything about macro and micronutrients. Like, you know what I mean? I know all these things. And so it was very hard for me to accept that even though I have all of this knowledge and years of healthy eating behind me, I was eating cereal, croissants, bagels, whatever I could stomach. I was so sick that I could only stomach very processed carbohydrates, which is terrible. I did not want any protein whatsoever. I did not want any type of meat at all. And I have never, ever, ever been vegetarian or vegan. So it was such a change to my normal life. But I did, you know, write down a few things about nutrition that I did learn. Something that I definitely went through was cravings. I had cravings for, like I said, kind of like high carbohydrate food, high sugar food. So what I would do instead, or, you know, half the time or try to do more, was I would eat fruit and a lot of fruit. So I went through a whole citrus era, did a lot of oranges, you know, things like that. Mangoes, apples, pears, lots of things like that. A lot of healthy chocolate. So I would buy 85% plus cacao chocolate, dark chocolate, because I had that craving for chocolate. And I would do my best to balance these with protein and healthy fats. So of course, I kept this in mind. So for example, I would do like apples with peanut butter is like the obvious one, right? Or I would do, I don't even know, like smoothies sometimes, and just really try to add in the protein in a different way, because I really was not into eating any animal meats or animal protein at the time. So what I would recommend to you, if you are in this stage right now, is again, know that it's a phase and it's going to end. And hopefully you were super healthy going into your pregnancy, that, you know, it's going to kind of help balance this out. And I would also add in that just try to add in those healthy fats and healthy protein to keep your blood sugar stable while you're eating potentially more high carbohydrate, high sugar foods. And also the healthy fat and the high protein is really great for baby development and pregnancy in general. So that, you know, you need those healthy fats for your hormones. Your baby needs that protein to be able to build the spinal cord and build the brain and all of these different things. So that's kind of what I tried to do. Small little tip, but really made a difference when I could not really eat full meals. Like I usually eat, you know, my meals are pretty basic, right? Like it's protein plus vegetables. The vegetables are a mix of raw and cooked vegetables. And that's kind of what dinner looks like. That's not what was happening during first trimester. It was like I said, bowl of cereal, that type of thing. So instead I would do fruit with nut butter. Then I would try have a little bit of goat cheese to get some healthy fat and protein in. I would try choose cereal that was higher in protein and have coconut milk, not almond milk, not oat milk, because those are just higher in carbohydrates, especially oat milk. And so I would try to do these little swaps, but again, I was kind of more easier on myself because I was going through such a hard time. I did a lot of paleo muffins. So another hack that I would say is bake or do like have easy, healthy snacks when you don't feel good. So I had like energy balls that were all natural. I did paleo muffins and I made a lot of these foods at home. And when I would cook or bake, I would do double the batch or triple the batch. And I always recommend this. So say I woke up one morning and I was feeling super sick. Instead of grabbing that bowl of cereal, I was able to eat three healthy protein energy balls that I made. And that was better than that processed cereal. Or I would make paleo muffins. The paleo muffins honestly saved me many, many times because, you know, they taste good. They don't have anything inflammatory in them and they're easy to digest. And you can add things like collagen powder to them in order to increase their protein profile. So again, those are the kind of the nutrition hacks that I would do is to kind of have those on hand. And whenever I didn't have that on hand, that was when I would be ordering Uber Eats and just not eating very healthy. So what I would say to that in conjunction is when you have these moments of, hey, I actually don't feel that bad, or hey, I have more energy right now, do that and go into the kitchen and bake something and bake a few batches of it, freeze a batch, whatever you need to do, put a batch in the fridge so that when you feel sick again, you have something that you can rely on that is more healthy. Or ask a friend to do it. Ask your partner, I don't know, whoever you have access to, because this can be such a game changer. And I'm actually taking this same hack and I'm doing this for postpartum, which will be another episode, but we are buying a deep freezer, like a deep freezer. And I will be making a ton of paleo muffins, all different flavors, energy balls, different flavors, handheld paleo burritos, you know, lasagnas, chicken pot pies, all of those different things. Obviously, everything paleo and healthy, so that when I'm going through postpartum, we can bring out stuff from the freezer instead of ordering food, and we can have something healthy that is super nourishing as well. Okay, we're still talking nutrition here. I would also say, and this is actually a good one as well, is watch how quickly you're eating. This is a general tip for anybody, really. Watch how quickly you're eating. If you're eating really fast, you are going to be full. Like it's going to take you less time to be full and you're going to eat more. So I've always been kind of a slower eater. I don't rush when I eat. I just don't feel the need to. And I see people around me, like my husband eats really quickly. And so I say to these people, like, slow down what you're eating and stop when you're full. Listen to your body. It goes back to what I said. Listen to your body when you're full. It's okay if you only eat 80% of what's on your plate. It's okay. You actually don't need to eat the rest of that. This will be my philosophy with kids as well. And same, like, this was not how I grew up. I don't agree with you have to finish all the food on your plate. That is silly to me. And that teaches kids that you are not tapped into how you intuitively feel and how full you feel. And I think it should be based off of that instead. Mind you, there are ways to go around this. So this could be its own podcast episode. But, you know, you can choose to serve certain foods in certain orders so that they eat the healthier food first, for sure. But when we're talking about adults, this same concept applies, is it's okay to leave 20% on your plate and only eat 80% if that's all you have room for. And let this be your guidance as well during pregnancy, that it is okay to not eat everything and it is okay to slow down your eating so that you have a better time to digest it and not overdo it. Okay, I want to talk about caffeine for a bit here. This is a big one. So, have I gone caffeine free during this pregnancy? Absolutely not. I guess I should talk about all the stupid nutrition recommendations during pregnancy. I mean, maybe that needs to be its own episode because that's not in my notes here. But I know that generally speaking, they say do not consume more than 200 milligrams of caffeine a day when you're pregnant. I haven't followed that. I've definitely tapered off and I'm definitely very aware of how much caffeine I'm having every day now. But I am not somebody who is caffeine free. And I personally just don't necessarily think that you need to worry so much about it. Depends on your caffeine levels. So what I found, especially during first trimester, was that I was more strict about it back then. And I was doing many days of decaf coffee, half calf, making sure it's organic, obviously that type of thing. And then what I actually found was a tea that I bought, which is weird that I bought this. I bought this in Costa Rica last year in March, way before I was pregnant. And it's cacao tea. And I started drinking it during first trimester. And I was like, why do I feel better after I drink this? Like, what is it about this cacao tea that makes me feel good? So I started doing research on it. And cacao tea has an ingredient in it called theobromine. And this ingredient is essentially what makes you feel good. Now, cacao tea is basically caffeine-free, but this theobromine is a compound and it is a stimulant that provides a natural energy boost without that caffeine. And so what I found was, it was so weird that I just bought this tea and I started having it during pregnancy. But that is how I got energy a lot during first trimester, was cacao tea. And I haven't really seen anyone talk about it. And I'm not going to lie, trying to find it in Canada has been very difficult. Very difficult because it's loose leaf cacao tea. So it's like little chocolate, almost like chocolate leaves, not cacao flavored this, cacao flavored that, chocolate flavored this, that, whatever. But the real thing has been very difficult to find. So I will try to link the one that I used again. I was almost just going to buy some from Costa Rica and ship it over, but then I started feeling better. So I kind of stopped using it as much, but I would definitely look into this if this is you. If you are somebody who is sensitive to caffeine, you don't want any caffeine during your pregnancy, you want energy in a natural way, cacao tea would be my number one recommendation for you. This was easily the best thing, one of my favorite biohacks in general for first trimester. The other thing that I do want to note about nutrition during this time was that, and I wrote this down, is do the best you can with food and exercise and know that you can make up for it in second and third trimester. And it's funny that I wrote that in first trimester because that's actually been proven to be very true. My second trimester was phenomenal and my nutrition was on point. And so I want to say that if you are in this phase right now and you're struggling, hopefully it gets better for you. I really hope it does. And when it does get better, you have the ability to start to choose salads, lean proteins, whole grains, whole foods, healthy fats, no processed foods. Like you have the option to kind of go back to that now. And so it's okay to kind of go through that phase of whatever you could stomach during that time is what I would say. And I'm glad that I had that perspective, and I'm glad that that came true as well. Have you heard about Senolytics yet? It is a class of ingredients discovered less than 10 years ago, and they're being called the biggest discovery of our time for promoting healthy aging and enhancing your physical prime. So you know that I absolutely had to get my hands on this. Your goals, your life goals, and your career and beyond require a lot of productivity. I feel that and you feel that. But let's be honest, the aging process is not our friend when it comes to endless energy and productivity. That's why I started using Qualia Senolytic. As we age, we all kind of acquire these cells in our body that are called senescent cells. They cause symptoms of aging that we both feel. Aches, pains, slow workout recovery, sluggish mental and physical energy, and everything kind of associated with that. They're also known as zombie cells. Basically, they're old and worn out and not serving as useful of a function as they once did. So we can take something like Qualia Senolytic, which helps remove these worn out senescent cells to allow for the rest of our cells to absolutely thrive. And one of the best parts is that you actually only need to take this supplement 2 days out of a month. So I like to do this once every quarter. So I'll do 1 month every quarter where I take these supplements just to really clean out the house, to sweep out all of the old zombie cells and really create space for the healthy new ones to absolutely thrive. And you can do the same. You can resist aging at a cellular level just like I am by using Qualia Senolytic. Go to neurohacker.com/Brittany for up to $100 off and use my code Brittany at checkout for an additional 15% off, which is huge. That's neurohacker.com/Brittany, spelled BRITTANY, for an extra 15% off your purchase. Let me know what you think. It's also linked right on my website in the show notes, so it's super easy for you to use. So speaking of, let's dive into exercise based off of that. I want to say that I definitely took a break from exercising during that time. I wish that I could say I'm somebody who exercised every single day of my pregnancy, because that makes sense. But those 6 weeks, I didn't. I simply didn't. And second trimester, I was extremely active. Third trimester, I've been very active. But first trimester, no. I was on the couch watching Netflix. I don't even know what I watched. And I could barely even work, let alone walk the dog. Okay. I felt terrible, absolutely terrible. And so again, it kind of goes back to that of like, it's okay if you're going through a hard phase during pregnancy right now, because hopefully you exercised a lot before and hopefully you can exercise a lot again afterwards. I will say that I tried to stretch and move my body a little bit, at least every other day. So stretching, moving, even a walk helps. And that's kind of what my perspective was. So I stopped the Peloton. I stopped weight workouts, like lifting weights. I stopped going to the different classes I was going to. And I just like simplified my approach so much. So give yourself grace. It's okay if you don't feel good right now and you're really tired. Know that you will likely bounce back. And when you bounce back, you can hop back on your Peloton or do whatever you want to do to feel good again. And that's what happened to me. That's what happens to most pregnant women who have a hard first trimester. And like I said, even a little bit of movement helps. Whether that's maybe you are sitting on the couch, but maybe you stretch while you sit on the couch, while you're watching Netflix. Maybe you walk around the block. Maybe you walk to go get food instead of getting it delivered. Those little things can really make a difference. And so I really encourage you to kind of do a little bit if you can. But if you can't, know that it's okay as well. And I think that's it that I wrote actually for exercise, because that just shows you how little I was exercising is my one note on it. I realized I have a couple of other nutrition ones I'm going to add in here quickly. Matcha. This is weird because I'm going through a matcha craving right now in third trimester. But anyway, matcha is got caffeine in it, and it also has L-theanine in it. Now, L-theanine kind of balances out the caffeine. So instead of having this like sharp increase in energy that you get from coffee and then a crash, when you have L-theanine from matcha, it kind of slows this down and you don't get a crash as much. And it's much, much, much healthier for you. So matcha is actually a great alternative to coffee for anybody. It's also filled with antioxidants and polyphenols, and it's one of the healthiest things that you can drink. However, the caveat, there is some research out there that shows that matcha can inhibit the uptake of methylated B vitamins. And when you are pregnant, these are crucial. So in your prenatal, you will see, hopefully you're taking a good one, which I'm going to dive into. Hopefully you will see methylated folate, methylated whatever, all the other B vitamins. And so with matcha, it can kind of inhibit that uptake of that. So be very careful if you're drinking matcha. My suggestion is have one cup of matcha in the morning and take your prenatal vitamins or your B vitamins. If it's a separate one as well, take it, you know, a few hours later, maybe at lunchtime or beyond. And that's currently what I do because I am loving matcha right now. If you are going through nausea, there are some things that can help. And, you know, every single blog post you Google is going to say, have ginger. The amount of ginger that I had that did nothing, I can't even tell you. I had ginger tea. I had ginger chews, those like ginger things that you suck on, like all of this ginger stuff. And I've had enough ginger for my life. I never want to touch ginger ever again. I am so sick of it because I had so much of it. And it didn't really do much for me. I don't think so anyway. I also had the C bands, that those are these like things that you put on your wrist that push on a certain acupressure point that help with morning sickness or nausea. It kind of helped for like 5-10 minutes and then it would just not. So I don't know. I probably wouldn't buy those again, but you can try them. But what I found did help was hydration with electrolytes and food high in protein. So hydration with electrolytes, I used Element a lot, which are my favorite electrolytes, and I'm still taking them now. And I would just drink a ton of water. This was basically the only thing that kind of helped and would make me feel better. And I know some people can't even stomach water. So just be careful. You know, it's really hard because like water is really great. You could try something like coconut water, which has natural electrolytes in it. That could also be a great alternative if you can't just drink plain water or you don't want to buy electrolytes. Coconut water is a more, you know, whole foods natural version. But that was kind of the only thing that really helped me with my nausea and eating all the time as well, which sounds terrible. So I would find that my nausea was worse when I had an empty stomach. So I would eat every 90 minutes to 2 hours, which is way more than I've ever eaten in my entire life. So I actually gained weight really quickly in my pregnancy, which I'm going to talk about during second trimester, because that's this whole other thing that was very difficult for me to deal with and overcome and mentally be okay with. And it was very triggering for me anyway. And so I gained weight very quickly because I was eating so much so frequently. But I felt better compared to when I had an empty stomach. So it was like this catch 22. And so I would just eat so that I could get through the day. So everyone is going to feel different. Some people feel worse when they eat food and then they throw it up. Some women like me have to have a full stomach. Some women lose weight during first trimester because they're not eating enough because they feel so sick. I was not that case. I was the opposite. So really go with how you feel and make the best decision for you. And again, I feel like this is just the overall arching theme of this episode, is that do what's best for you, listen to your body, and know that it's just a phase and it's okay. It's okay if you're not super healthy during this first trimester. Okay, next, supplements. So I use the Needed prenatal supplement, and I will link that in the show notes for you. This is probably the best prenatal in the market. There's maybe a couple other ones that I like as well, but it is a very, very comprehensive formula. Everything is in the most absorbable form. So you are not getting folic acid. You are getting folate, methylated folate, which is what you want. It has everything you need in there, choline, all of the different things. And so this prenatal is easily the one that I recommend. I have a discount code with them. I think it's Biohacking Brittany in all capitals. And I would use this. I would use this before you're pregnant, when you're pregnant, and after. I think you should be taking it during postpartum as well for nutrient depletion, which happens to a lot of women. And I also really love their egg quality supplement and their sperm quality supplement. I forgot what they're called, but those are what we also took during preconception to help boost our fertility before we started trying to conceive. Those are also really great. However, the prenatal, it's not just a one and done. Okay. You can't just take a prenatal and think, oh, I'm done with supplements. That this is all I need. That is not the case. And the Needed company, they have this same philosophy, and research actually backs this up. So, you know, you need more than what's in a prenatal supplement. And so what you can add in are different things as well. So my stack is my prenatal supplement, which is 8 different pills. Sounds like a lot, but again, arguably the best prenatals on the market are multiple pills like this because they have the right amount in them. Now, just a note on this is Needed also has a powdered formulation. So if you are really sick, you can take that in water instead. And when I was really nauseous, I really struggled to take my supplements because there's something about just swallowing them made me feel very sick. And so I would take the powdered version in water. And so I would try to get all my nutrients in that way. So I have the prenatal, then you need omegas. So, and make sure it's in the right omega-3 to omega-6 ratio and also has enough EPA and DHA in them. The Needed one is fantastic. This is the one that I recommend. And this is the one that I'm taking. On top of that, a probiotic, a very comprehensive probiotic. I take the one by Bioptimizers. This is what I recommend for people. I have been taking this probiotic probably for maybe a year or 2 years. And it's just one of the best ones I've seen. It's very high in the amount in there, amount of microbes in there, and it's very well researched. So I do the prenatal, the omega, the probiotic. I also have a separate magnesium supplement, and this is by Bioptimizers as well. It has 7 different types of magnesium in it, and this is really great for constipation, headaches, sleep, muscle spasms, anything like that. And I really, really recommend you take this. I have taken extra magnesium my entire pregnancy, and I have had 0 headaches, 0 back pain. Honestly, not really much anxiety, some stress, but we're also moving across the country, that type of thing. But stress has honestly been pretty good. And it's been, and I've had no constipation whatsoever. So it's really great for constipation. I know a lot of women get very backed up when they're pregnant. So add in a magnesium supplement. And then I would also add in, you can do organ supplements. So you can do beef liver or beef. There's ones that have different types of organs in them. I do this on and off, and this is not something I did during first trimester. So it's not really applicable here. But you can add that in as well if you're looking for something to support you during this time. What I didn't take during first trimester was iron, and I should have. So during second trimester, I got tested for iron. My iron was low, and then I ordered iron from Needed, and then I felt so much better. So a lot of the fatigue that women go through during pregnancy is actually related to having low iron, low ferritin levels. And you typically get tested for this around halfway, around week 20. Looking back, I wish that I had known that. And I wish that I had started taking iron right away because I probably wouldn't have felt as tired and as fatigued as I did. So think about that. If you're somebody who's feeling very tired right now, think about your iron levels. My iron was not low before pregnancy. It was not. It was average, maybe slightly low, like lower average, but it was fine. I've never been anemic, never had any of these other issues. And so I was shocked to see how much it plummeted during pregnancy. So definitely get on an iron if you can. Helps with energy. And it really did help with energy. Like I started feeling better right away when I added that iron in. And also your prenatal should not have iron in it already. This is a side note, but yeah, there's a couple of reasons. One, iron is not something you want to mess around with. If you are somebody with adequate levels, you shouldn't really be adding it in. We get quite a bit from our diet, and there's research to show that supplementing with too much iron is actually harmful for the body and actually ages you faster. So it should not be in a prenatal. Also, the other reason is that it oxidizes your prenatals and your supplement faster. That means that in that little tablet that you're taking, if there's iron there, it's actually going to degrade faster and it's not going to have the same amount of absorbable nutrients in it as it would if there was no iron in it. So the needed prenatal does not have iron in it and you get it separately. And so it's just smart like that. So yeah, so I would do prenatal, omega, probiotic. I wish I had taken iron. I didn't. I take it now. And then I would have digestive enzymes whenever I would eat processed food. Digestive enzymes I get from Bioptimizers again. These are little coenzymes that basically help break down your food and help reduce the negative impacts that can come from certain food, especially when it has things like gluten in it or lactose or whey or casein or these proteins that can be inflammatory, which I definitely react to. So I did a lot of digestive enzymes to kind of help mitigate the harmful effects of the food that I was eating. Other than that, that's kind of what it looked like at the time. I actually started taking Fatty 15 as well. So this is a essential fatty acid, the first one discovered since omegas 90 years ago. And I actually got this question in my DMs. Someone said, do you take omegas and fatty 15, or did you, you know, stop one, take the other? I kind of stopped one and took the other. So I was taking omegas, I ran out, then I took fatty 15, and I just ran out of fatty 15 right now. And so I'll start omegas again. And I kind of just substitute them like that, even though fatty 15 is arguably the better product. And sorry, fatty 15 is the name of the company. It's the C15 is the name of the actual essential fatty acid. And so you can look that up. I also have a discount code with them. I think it's Biohacking Brittany in capitals. It's on my website. But that is a very, very interesting supplement. And yeah, I've taken it intermittently throughout my pregnancy. Okay, I think that's it for supplements. What I was taking anyway during first trimester, just to kind of like help you get started. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is we can talk about environment. So this is kind of generalized information, but I think it is really helpful. I was very fatigued and very tired during first trimester, which a lot of people are. And so I really want to emphasize optimizing your environment if you're taking naps. I started napping for the first time ever. I was not a napper before that. And I think it's really important to follow your same sleep biohacks during that time. So I would use an eye mask. I have a white noise machine. I actually just got the best white noise machine. I just posted about it on Instagram recently. I didn't have this during first trimester, but I wish I did. And it has brown noise, pink noise, white noise, nature sounds, and fan sounds. It has no light that comes off of it. It has no screen. It is like the most biohacker thing you could ever buy. And I'm obsessed with it. We actually bought it for our baby and I am using it right now. So I might have to get another one for the nursery, but this is the best thing, and I will put it in the show notes for you so you can find it. This is phenomenal. So for your naps that you're taking, if you're feeling very fatigued, optimize your sleep environment. Okay. White noise, cold, should be very cold, cool, dark room, earplugs. You can use something like 8Sleep, which is a pad that goes on top of the mattress that cools you down. This was really, really helpful for me. And especially as your temperature increases when you are pregnant, it's nice to be able to cool down in your bed like this. I will put my link in my discount code. I think, again, it's Biohacking Brittany. This is such a game changer. Like, being able to regulate your bed temperature is such a game changer for your sleep. And then I would also read before I'd go to sleep as well. And something that I would notice with this, like beyond just these basic biohacks, is that if it was during the day and I was working and I would start to kind of feel tired and I would have this thought, maybe I should have a nap. The moment I would have the thought, I would honor it. Because in the beginning, I didn't. In the beginning, I would ignore it. And I would say, oh, I'm fine. Like, I'll go sleep in half an hour. And then you're yawning more and more and more, and you're tired and your productivity goes down and it's taking you way longer to do the task. So I quickly learned to listen to my body. And I quickly learned that if I have this thought of, oh, I need to nap, I need to honor it right now if I can and optimize just falling asleep fast right away, because the thought doesn't go away. That's what I learned, is if the moment I have that thought, the moment, I don't know what it is, like the moment I go there in my head, it doesn't go away. It just keeps coming and coming and coming until I do something about it half an hour later. So I might as well get up and do it now so I can feel better sooner. So again, listen to your body when it comes to this. And when we also talk about environment, I do want to talk about EMF. Now, EMF is something that we actually do talk about a lot in pregnancy, which is nice. Because sometimes we don't talk about it, but there tends to be more of a concern about it when you are carrying a baby. And so the way that I mitigate EMF, which is electromagnetic fields, is I would do a couple of things. One, definitely wear Junaday clothing. So Junaday is a line of women's clothing that is designed for pregnancy. And I actually wore this clothing prior to pregnancy, and I will after as well. It is designed to block your belly and your uterus and your womb from EMF through the fabric that's used. So it uses silver technology, and essentially it blocks the radiation from going to that area of the body. So I would wear the jumpsuits while I was working and or doing anything that was like high EMF, like on a plane, anything like that. I only took one flight during my whole pregnancy. And I won't take any more because I just don't think that it's worth it for the amount of radiation that occurs during that time. So definitely Junaday clothing. I am obsessed with this brand. I have multiple pieces from them. My friend Marjorie owns it. You can use my discount code Brittany in capitals and you will get a discount. And she's the best. And also the designs are so stylish. Like, they're actually not ugly, that they're very, very modern. And I find that EMF clothing typically is very ugly. It's usually designed by men for women, and you can tell. So that is not the case with these. And I think you will love the clothing from it. You can also do Lila Quantum Tech. So I have their products throughout my apartment, and they have really great stuff. So I have their Infinity Block, which basically helps to neutralize all of the EMF in your entire home or your apartment. And I've done podcast episodes on this. I love working with them. So this kind of gives me a peace of mind to know that I'm trying to change the energy and the radiation in my home through their products. Hopefully, and I do believe they do make a difference. And, you know, especially because it radiates throughout the whole house, I think it is important to invest in something like that so that you have peace of mind for you and your baby. And then once your baby's here, the same thing applies, right? Like, your baby's nursery, your crib, whatever, they are protected by the way that this technology works. They have over 65 different studies that explains it and goes through the research. So I definitely recommend looking into that and just trying to mitigate and reduce how much EMF you are exposed to. Now, obviously, you can do the things like unplug the Wi-Fi at night, don't sleep with your phone on beside you, have it on airplane mode, reduce how many things are plugged in your room in general. So in your bedroom. So don't have a computer, don't have a TV. Just be very cautious of these types of things. Turn Bluetooth off. Don't have Bluetooth on in your car. Those types of things is really helpful as well. It's like, let's just turn off these things as much as possible. The other environmental thing that I did during the first trimester was I got rid of all of the plastic in my kitchen. This was something that I wanted to do a long time ago, and I've slowly been doing. So, you know, we had glass Tupperware, but I went like ham during first trimester. I got rid of any plastic utensils, plates, cups. I got rid of our pots and pans that were nonstick, and I replaced them with stainless steel or cast iron. And then I have wooden utensils and glass containers only, glass cups, glass or ceramic for everything. So I recommend doing that. There is research that shows that toxins in plastic are harmful for pregnancy. Things like phthalates, BPA, BPB, and BPS, those are all toxic and can be toxic to the baby. And they're just kind of in everything, you know? And the worst part is like now, even when you buy something, it says like BPA free, you're like, oh, this is great. I don't have to worry about it. But they've replaced BPA with BPB or BPS. And the research shows that those two chemicals are actually way worse for your health than BPA was. So the best solution here is actually to completely take plastic out of your kitchen and home in general, regardless of if it says BPA free or not. You want to stick to materials like metal, glass, ceramic, and that's kind of it. Maybe some silicone, or all natural 100% rubber. But again, really, really look at what it's made from to make sure that you are getting something that is non-toxic. Okay, the last thing that I want to talk about is the book that I recommend for every single woman out there. My gosh, is like my lifesaver, my Bible, is the Mama Natural Pregnancy book. Now, this book is phenomenal. This has been my go-to resource. So it is a week-by-week guide for pregnancy, and it goes through everything that you need to know about pregnancy, especially if you are a first-time mom. I will link it in the show notes and on my website for you. Now, what is the best part about it is that it goes through all of the natural and holistic options that you have. So it'll talk about like first trimester. Okay, some people get genetic testing. This is why they do it. This is what it should show you. Should you do it? Well, here's what could happen. This is what it could lead to. Okay, you need to make the decision yourself. There's recipes in there. It talks about how your baby's developing, how your body's changing. I cannot talk high enough about this book. It has guided me through every decision that I've made. There is a like weeks in there where they talk about nursery and creating a non-toxic nursery and how to pick products that, again, don't have plastics in them or flame retardants or like these chemicals that are very damaging to baby. Like there's so much in there. It's a big book, and I just read the week by week. I've read many weeks ahead. I think I've read almost the entire book by now, but this is a lifesaver. I really recommend getting this. And the Genevieve, the author, she has a website, mamanatural.com. I think that's what it is. And there are so many videos and blog posts and everything on there about everything that you could ever think of that you're researching, that you're trying to decide, vaccines, all sorts of things, you know, like organic clothing, organic food, breastfeeding, birth, like home birth, midwives, everything. So definitely dive into that. She is such a powerful resource, and I don't know where I'd be right now without her. I actually signed up for her birth course, which we're going through right now. And I signed up for her baby course, which I'm going to do next so that I'm prepared and understand breastfeeding as best as I can. Yeah. And I just love, love her work. So check her out if you haven't. That is Mama Natural. I think she is the number one website online for like natural, holistic pregnancy and baby. And you can tell because there's so much information there from her. And you can also follow her on Instagram. Okay. That is it for my first trimester biohacks. Oh my gosh, what a long list of everything that we did that I talked about. And I hope you learned something new. I hope you got something out of it that you're going to try. If you're going through first trimester, just remember that it is a phase. Hopefully it gets better. If you're having a great first trimester, good for you. I'm happy for you. That's awesome. And continue doing what you're doing. I'm going to do this same thing for second trimester and third trimester. So stay tuned for those episodes. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. And like I said, send me a DM. Let's talk in the DMs of what you found helpful or surprising or new or what worked for you maybe. And maybe we'll do DM of the week as a regular reoccurrence. I put out episodes every Tuesday and Friday. So I will catch you next week for another one. And thank you for listening. Thanks for listening to another episode of Biohacking with Brittany. If you're interested in finding the show notes or the sponsors for this episode, you can do so on my website, which is biohackingbrittany.com. Remember to follow me on Instagram, where I'm most active. My handle is @biohackingbrittany. And if you're interested in working together and you want to email me directly, you can do that. My email is info@biohackingbrittany.com. And I look forward to hearing from you and having you tune in next week.